This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Show everyone, good Tuesday morning, Hooligans. We got Top Text Tuesday here. Best text of the day wins a $20 gift certificate to Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor. They got Legos, they got sports memorabilia, Funko Pop, sports cards, you name it, they got it. And the holidays are quickly approaching, so stop by, tell them we sent you here from the whole show. I want good text today. Thoughts on the Broncos at this point, now that we've had a day to kind of simmer, to let it cool down, a brilliant fourth quarter. Are there concerns about this team at 5-2? Does it feel like they're 5-2? Will the offense wake up? Sean Payton was asked whether or not he would give up play calling duties at some point. And he's like, no, I think we're pretty good with our situation. Yeah. The fourth quarter would tell you maybe, but we'll see. Top Text Tuesday, bring it. I want to hear some good ones. We got Border War. Like, go Pokes, just text in. It sucks to be a CSU lamb. Come on. Go Pokes. Come on. You're better than that. Give me something really good. I mean, it's Top Text Tuesday before the Border War. Micah, does it not feel like the Border War now, though? I mean, you just fired your coach. I mean, you can tell me all day long that Tyson Summers is, oh, we believe in him, and he's got, well, it wasn't part of the plan. Like, yeah, maybe the interim thing strikes and we get a good football game out of this. But listen, CSU's in a bad spot. They are in, you know, they just fired Jay Norvell. Wyoming's starting to do things that we saw CSU do now, and it starts with a change at play caller, a change at offensive coordinator. Javon Bonite is going to be he was the wide receivers coach. I think he's like a Hall of Fame wide receiver for Wyoming. He's a stud. He's going to be calling plays. This is not really a good sign of a healthy program when you're making these kind of changes halfway through the season. I said it about CSU. There are two major things that I say are red flags for the head coach and the future of a program and the immediate future of a program. And that is, first, quarterback carousel. And for, I guess, depending on how you want to look at it, first could be changing up your offensive play caller or any play caller. For example, you know, if your defense is bad and you got to go with a different caller for defensive coordination, it's bad. But I always kind of look at the top two things are the mark of a current unhealthy program, and that is a quarterback carousel and or you're making a change. Just search it, Mike. John Weber press conference, YouTube. See if you can find that because I want to hear that. Michael's texting me. We pull back the curtain. Sometimes it works. And then it's a play caller. You know, so what we're seeing with Wyoming right now is, all right, they're now saying Jay Johnson wasn't good enough, which he wasn't. So we're going to make a change at offensive play caller. If Sean Payton has to do that for the Broncos, that would also be a red flag. Doesn't always mean that the end is near. I discussed that a lot with CSU. That doesn't always, I mean, you can have a guy suddenly it works, and then you're like, okay, he should have been calling plays. This coach is better suited for managing the game rather than staring down at a playbook. Sometimes it works. Very rarely it does. So Wyoming's kind of in that point right now, and that's what we have. We have a Wyoming team that is really struggling. We got a CSU team that is really struggling, and the roster is still the roster at this stage. And you're going with, you know, Grant Chestnut to be your offensive coordinator. Now, he's going to be calling plays, at least. Matt Mummy will still be the pass game coordinator. Bill Best will still be the run game coordinator. But then you have another offensive coordinator. Eesh. I don't know. Yeah, this is an interesting one. Big Hub texting in on the First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Whoever coaches next year at CSU needs to hit the portal hard. Also, why a new OC? They floored Fresno. Yeah, I was a little shocked that Matt Mummy did not remain calling plays. And I can't imagine that's going over well. I'm honestly kind of, I don't know how all this works. When a coach leaves, when he brings in a lot of guys, like I know Matt Mummy and Jay Norvell, I believe they are pretty tight. There was part of me that wondered if Matt just leaves too, but it's a paying job. It's probably a decent paying job. You're still a Division I coach, an assistant at this level. So it's still a good job to have if you're in the football world. But there was a part of my brain that wondered if maybe Mummy says, you know what, I'll just leave too, and we'll start looking for our next stop. If there is a next stop, I don't know if Jay Norvell's resume is going to speak well to a lot of lateral movement, certainly not elevated movement. I would imagine it's going to be a lateral Mountain West or below that, or a coordinator job. That's probably what we'll see with Jay Norvell in the future. And then what does that mean with Matt Mummy? Is it a package deal? They don't have to be a package deal. But I was kind of shocked that that was one of Tyson Summers' first moves, or at least how that was indicated to us via the press conference. It's not good, guys. And now, you know, John Weber, I want to play some of that here in a moment. But first, Michael, before we get to that, I want to hit the good, the bad, the ugly. The good, the bad, the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, check them out online at fmsbank.com/KFKA. So I did see this on X. Colorado Avalanche unveils their specialty jersey. They're going to wear blue Quebec Nordiques throwbacks in their 30th anniversary season. First game they'll be doing this, just a couple of days away, against Carolina on October 23rd. It is an awesome video. If you have an X account or social media, I feel like you guys should search that out. Joe Sakic was the feature, and it ended with Gabriel Landeskog. Jerseys look sharp. I like throwbacks. If we're talking about jerseys and stuff, once in a while, they're doing it a lot, though. October 23rd, November 29th, January 3rd, January 12th, March 16th, April 1st, and April 11th. So the jerseys will be on sale, I believe, now. Online at altitudeauthentics.com, with in-person sales beginning at noon Mountain at the Altitude Authentics store at Ball Arena, which will be open until 7 o'clock. So, the jerseys look cool. Throwbacks are cool, Mike. Respect your history. I like them. I think they're cool.
The old Nordic logo looks like an elephant.
It does. It very much does look like an elephant, but I kind of like that where it's almost so ugly looking, it's kind of good.
Like the 1970s, 80s Astros?
Yeah, kind of like that. The bad is what I was just talking about with Wyoming, with them saying, okay, Jay Johnson is going to, we're going to move him down. He's still going to be there as like an offensive analyst, but we're making a change at play calling duties for the Cowboys. It typically doesn't seem like this is a good sign going forward for the current head coach. The ugly, Broncos' Dre Greenlaw suspended one game for conduct toward a referee. I don't know if you saw this video. I did. Very interesting. The Broncos run to celebrate, and the referee, Brad Allen, kind of is in the middle of their celebration trying to get out of it. And it looks like Justin Cernad came in. It was like all over him, and Allen kind of shoved him away, shoved him off of him. And then you see Dre Greenlaw chasing after Brad Allen. I don't know what was said, but Brad Allen threw a flag. The game's over. He threw a flag. And that obviously, I guess, led to the NFL saying, all right, fine, we can't penalize you in the game, so we're going to penalize you for the next game. Dre Greenlaw just came back from an injury and now he's going to sit out a game. You can't go after the referees. I don't know what was said, but the way he was approaching him was not a safe look, and you just don't want to do that. Here's what I'll say to that, though, Mike. Didn't they just see their head coach do the same thing? I mean, Sean Payton did it after the crappy pass interference call on Riley Moss. But Sean Payton storms all the way down the field, gets out on the field, and starts yelling at the referees. How are you then supposed to turn around and say, Dre Greenlaw, don't do that? I'm the coach. I should be able. No, even the coach especially shouldn't do that. So that one's tough. So that's my ugly for the day. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Yeah, you give me a lot, Go Pokes. I like it. I'll get to them. Jay Norvell released a statement yesterday in CSU's name. They put it out. It was a fascinating statement. I mean, you have a lot of the niceties in there about, hey, we expected our players to be true gentlemen. I'm proud to say that they have conducted themselves that way, both on and off the field. That's what coaching is all about. Kim, his wife, and I want to express our gratitude to everyone who supported us and our program. So you got a lot of that. He starts his statement with this. Our time at Colorado State has been incredibly special for Kim and me. Over the past 4 years, college football has changed in ways few could have imagined. Some of those changes are positive, while many others have brought new challenges and disruption to the game we love. As a veteran coach, I believe we must be careful because some of these changes risk sending the wrong message to our young people. Throughout my career, I've always believed deeply in the student-athlete experience in our role as educators. Our mission has always been to help young men grow, academically, athletically, and personally, into mature and responsible adults. That was just kind of interesting the way he started that, talking about the state of college football and how it's changed. I kind of glance at that paragraph and I go, that sounds like a coach that maybe, I'm not going to say is making excuses, but kind of saying, once I joined CSU, that's when things started to change and that was a lot of new things to navigate through. He's not wrong. I mean, if you joined a team, what was it, in 2020, things really started to move. I think it was 2021 when Jay Norvell took over for CSU, or maybe it was 2022. Yeah, that would check out. We have definitely seen more NIL, more transfer portal news, which now they've tightened back up, and we'll get into some of that later on the show. But it does kind of strike me as a Mike Gundy kind of approach. Like, hey, man, we got to be careful here. You know, some of the changes are positive, but many others have brought new challenges and disruption to the game. Jay was very vocal about some of his players, Braden Fowler, Nicolosi, Torrey Horton, guys getting poached or attempting to poach them. We all know about the BFN $600,000 thing. That's when I started to see a crack in Jay Norvell's approach. While at first the news was big, and it was one of those stories where, all right, coach is starting to call people out, and now he's saying that his quarterback is getting trying to poach him and give $600,000 to his quarterback. And at first it was like, okay, that's news. It's fun to talk about, but is that a good move? You kind of put your quarterback in a spotlight that you shouldn't want him in. Because after that, it was, oh, every bad game, every bad throw, it was going to be, oh, there's the $600,000 quarterback. And then Jay Norvell doubled down at Mountain West Media Days a few months later, and he actually threw out the name, and he threw out K-State and said they were the ones coming after his quarterback. I didn't, as time went on, I looked back and I said, there's only one way that outcome, that works, and that's if BFN is lights out good. That's the only way that that comes out looking pretty strong. And it didn't work out that way. Jay put a lot of eggs into that basket. And then in the offseason, he shifted things with Matt Mummy and Bill Best, but there was never a real offensive coordinator. It's a kind of a too many chefs in the kitchen kind of thing. Michael, I use this word a lot, and when I say it, I mean it. When things seem clunky, they're not good. And things seemed clunky for CSU the last 2 years. And then in the offseason, when I hear that maybe Mummy's going to be the OC, and oh, maybe not. I mean, there were reports that he was going to be calling plays, and then that was kind of tamed down to, oh, never mind. I think our guy Justin Michael from DNVR said that that was going to happen. And maybe it was going to happen, but then there was a change of heart. You know, never mind. I don't want to give that up. So instead, I'll promote you to pass game coordinator, and then we'll have a run game coordinator. And I remember talking about that on this show, saying, so how does that work? You got, who's calling the play? Okay, I'm coordinating the runs that you're going to call, but I'm coordinating the passes you're going to call. And then Jay kind of puts that in a box and mixes, or a bottle, and mixes it all up. I just thought it sounded strange to me, Michael.
Hey, at least they had a run game coordinator. Sean Payton.
Do they not have a run game? Should they have a run game coordinator? I just think we don't need a coordinator for every single thing.
I
see colleges now have like an outside and inside linebacker coach. Like, do we need a coach for like every player? We should just have a coach per player. Left
Smarter
tackle
coaches.
Coach, right tackle coach, right guard coach, center coach, left guard coach, quarterback coach, running back one coach, running back two coach, wide
Mental
receiver
coach,
tight end coach. Let's just have a coach for every single player and then mix it all up and see how it works.
And then give them all pedicures and manicures, and it gets a little ridiculous after a while.
Yeah, I just yeah. Thank you for that. Go Pokes. It's a shout out or a callback to my chat with Mike Brohard a couple weeks ago about play calling, who will be on the show today. I'm curious to get his thoughts on this because he covers the Rams, also works for CSU. So what's it like on his side of things going through this? Go Pokes text, well, Brady, it might come as a surprise to you, but all of these coaches can call plays and BFN can also change the play on the field in a huffy tone. Yeah. Listen, don't tell me it's snowing if it's 90 degrees outside. Like, that's what I was being told for the last 3 weeks.
Brady, it is snowing in Nepal.
Yeah, don't tell me that. Don't tell me that, oh, we're changing play colors, but really nothing's changing. You know, come on. Yeah, thank you. 970 texting in. What you described, it sounds like the South Park episode where they have the Sarcastable. Well, yeah, I mean, so I just think sometimes football can get a little too, I don't know, man, like, oh, we got to have this coach, we got to have this guy, and we got to keep this close to the vest, and oh, we're changing play calling, but not really, nothing's changed. Just call it what it is. You wanted to focus more on the game, so you made Matt Mummy call the plays. But you didn't really want to say that Matt Mummy was calling the plays, because what if it works out? Now it looks like, oh, man, Matt Mummy should be the guy running. Yeah, yeah, it's just a strange dynamic. And I've seen too much of that in our area. I've seen a lot of weird coaching. And I think it's going on in Denver right now with Sean Payton. Yeah, they won. I don't know that I feel great. I don't know that I look at this 5-2 team and necessarily feel like it's 5-2. I don't. I'm a little concerned. And we'll get into some of that. Big Hub. I don't know, man. I'm tired. He says, where are all the Buff fans attacking Norvell? Why are all the Buff fans attacking Norvell? Like, what is this BS on X? I need you to attack these Buffs fans. Well, yeah, you're getting a bunch of the guys bringing up the clip that we aired yesterday. The whole, he was shooting off his mouth. Shouldn't have been doing it. But things that didn't affect him. Dude, he was at his own coach's show. And he was trying to stir up a little stuff. If that was the worst thing in the world, oh my gosh.
Well, it's not like Coach Prime doesn't shoot his mouth off.
I've heard him do that. Yes,
I mean shoot his mouth off at the media.
Oh, yeah.
Asking legit questions.
You can't CBS. I don't like you. I can't talk to you. John Keeler. I can't talk to you. Do you write mean things about me in the Denver Post? He also writes positive things about him. He also writes mean things about the Rams. He also writes positive things about the Rams.
Are you saying he's doing his job?
He's a columnist. And when you are in this business, If I got on here every day and I just give me a team, Mike, give me a team that we talk about. Give me a team.
The Denver Broncos.
Oh, man. You know what? The Broncos, that fourth quarter was awesome. That's who they're going to be the rest of the year. They're going to win every game. Super Bowl. Give me another team.
The CSU Rams.
Oh, CSU Rams fired Jay Norvell? Yeah, that was a good move because I hear Tyson Summers is awesome, and that move is going to result in a lot of wins. And if they need to, they can make him the head coach. But if they don't, the next head coach, even though we don't know who it is going to be really good. Give me another team. This is fun.
All right, the UNC Bears.
Oh, the UNC Bears threw it on fourth and one when they probably should have ran it? No, I don't think so, because if they would have ran it, it might not have worked. And I think exactly what was called was the right play. We'll get them another day, doggone it. Like, if I got on here for 3 hours every day and I just did that, you guys wouldn't listen if it was only positive. Because the truth is, there's a lot of negatives. You could evaluate my show every day and walk away from it and say, oh, I didn't really like that segment. I didn't like what they did with that. 100%. If you wanted to talk about the show, if you came to me and gave me critique, but it was all, dude, you're just amazing, awesome, great. Nobody wants to hear that. This is what we do. We have to call out, and that's what Sean Keeler was doing. You have to call out the negative. So Coach Prime doesn't like that. And yes, he has fired shots too. He's the guy who made famous on his X account. I got time today. He got after a guy on X that said, my son's going to go number one. Where's your son going? And then that didn't happen. And again, they all kind of do it. It happens. I didn't have a problem with the sunglasses thing, but that's where Buffs fans are going crazy. And
he does look cool in those sunglasses.
Coach Prime?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got style.
If you're gonna wear those sunglasses, look cool. And he does look cool.
Yeah, he's got style, but I thought it was weird when it was like his first press conference when he's like, you know, we're not gonna wear glasses and hats in these rooms, and a bunch of dudes start taking their hats off. But he's wearing glasses and a hat. While he's having the conversation, it's kind of the Sean Payton running down the field. Okay, I'm yelling at the ref, Dre Greenlaw, you don't do that. I don't know. It didn't bother me. I thought it added more juice to that game, and it made it more interesting for me. So I'm good with it.
I just watched the Dre Greenlaw video.
You watched the video of him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wonder if he was making a comment about that BS pass interference, which, by the way, I didn't want to say this yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
But I think there was offensive holding on that very same play.
Did you think it was pass interference on Ryan
No,
Moss?
It wasn't. Absolutely not.
I didn't think it was. He turned his head. There was not a lot of contact. But yeah, I don't think Sean Payton should have got on the field.
Yeah, it wasn't pass interference, and also it was offensive holding.
Yeah.
But they missed an offensive hold. And I'm wondering, I didn't know who got held, but I'm wondering if it was Dre Greenlaw.
I don't know if my guess is Dre Greenlaw, because the referee like pushed off Justin Cernadz, like he like kind of pushed him out of the way. You have to really watch it. And I think from what I saw, it looked like Dre Greenlaw saw that, chased down the ref, like, what are you doing, man? Brad Allen was the official. And I don't know what was said. Obviously something was said that was pretty rough. And now they're challenging it. Dre Greenlaw's camp is going to challenge it. That's interesting because I think what was said is going to now come out.
Well, they've got microphones everywhere.
Yeah. The according to the NFL statement, Greenlaw chased after referee Brad Allen and verbally threatened him as he tried to leave the field. That's bad enough. But if we actually get into the details of this, could be worse. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. All right, I want to get more into this today, too. Christian Brown signing the 5-year contract extension with the Denver Nuggets. Is it good? The Nuggets start their season in a couple of days on Thursday night. How are we feeling about this Nuggets team? We'll get into some of that throughout the day today, too. Panic button a little about the Broncos at 5-2. This offense has been pretty sleepy for most of the season. Giants aren't really a good team. I think they're riding the high of Jackson Dart and Cam Scadabay.
You do the fandango.
I think they're riding that right now. I don't know if that's going to last long, but we'll see. So I wouldn't necessarily say at this point the Broncos beat a good Giants team. So we'll get into it. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Shoot us a text. Get involved in the program. Top text of the day is getting a $20 gift certificate to the one and only Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor. Let's take a short break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
And Bruce Dick for the high school football game of the week. Fridays on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
All of the lights.
All right, welcome back. It's a good tune. Good job, Mike. DJ Michael?
You put this in the playlist.
Oh, thank you. But you played it, so you're the DJ. I'm the guy that makes it good. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Shout out to Carver Cheeks, was named the NFFCC Player of the Week. That is the National Football Foundation Colorado Chapter Player of the Week, following one of the most prolific performances in program history. He had 9 receptions, 223 yards, and 3 touchdowns in the Bears' loss last week. But
so I bet
to Sacramento State.
This naming doesn't matter that much to him. No offense to the
NFFCC.
Yeah, no offense
NFFCC.
To them.
NFFCC.
But I'm sure he would rather have the win.
He is among the national leaders right now. Carver Cheeks is ranking 3rd in the FCS and 1st in the Big Sky with 725 receiving yards, while also leading the league in receptions and yards per game, 103.6. His 725 receiving yards already rank 10th most for a single season in Northern Colorado's Division I history.
You hear that, Big Sky? That's the UNC Bears.
That's the Bears.
It's the Bears.
No doubt about it. The Bears are getting better. Michael, but for the first time ever, are we at the point where we can evaluate the Bears? Because haven't we always just been like, that's the Bears. They lost again. I'm not going to get into details why they lost. They're not good. Offense, defense, special teams, coaching, none of it's good. Now they're actually good, but there's now coaching decisions that come into play. There's turnovers and all that come into play. When you start to get better, your expectations will begin to increase. And when those expectations increase, you're now open to more people giving you criticism. So congratulations, UNC. You're now at the point where people give a you-know-what. But with that comes more. Tomorrow on Football 52.
You're going to ask him.
I am going to ask him. Why
hey,
did you throw
what
it
the
on
heck?
4th and 1? And he's going to probably say, well, we ran it 4 million times when it was 4th and 1 last time against, was it South Dakota? And, you know, people thought we should have thrown it. Well, maybe once. This was a one play, 1 yard. You'd had a quarterback that threw 3 or 4 interceptions. I know Carver Cheeks was catching everything, but that's going to be a question that a lot of people have for Ed Lamb. But congratulations. I think, you know what they say, like pressure is a privilege? They say that's a cliche term. The Bears are now in that world. This is no longer, well, they scored 10 points, darn it. You know, good. They get a good young player out of so-and-so Colorado that looks kind of decent. Man, I really like Ed Lamb. But we're not at that point anymore, are we? They have now.
There's relevance.
Yeah. And that's good and bad, I guess. It's better to have people criticizing you and talking about you than not talking about you. When it's just you're apathetic and you don't care, that's the worst place to be in all of sports. And that's not where the UNC Bears are. Faith says, great jams today, Michael. See? You're doing it, man. Look at you. You're producing a radio show.
That one from the playlist. I'm sorry.
It's a good tune. I'm trying to broaden my horizons. I'm trying to open up a little bit, not just the rock music. Because if you and I played our music back and forth, people would, I think, get annoyed. And I'm adding myself in there. Look at me. I'm trying to be nice to you. I'm putting us in the same camp. I think both of our music, some of our stuff, is maybe not for a broader audience.
So the new album from Amorphis is...
I don't know what that is.
It's a fantastic album.
Okay.
If anybody... Hang on.
No. Don't play it. Don't play
Borderland.
It.
Borderland. I'm not going to play it. No.
Okay. Yeah. Thank
Borderland,
you.
If you want to...
I'm good.
Listen to it.
No. I probably won't. I'll put that in the Taylor Swift area of albums I'll never buy.
You don't have to buy it. You can just... stream it.
I'll never stream it. I just have a feeling that I won't be doing that. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Yeah, Wyoming. Who do you like this weekend? My picks are on Friday for me. Everybody knows that, but you can throw out random stuff. Has the border war lost a lot of its luster with what's going on right now?
Yeah, the border war is... It's a regional... rivalry. It's not like Ohio State, Michigan.
Mm-hmm. You've made that
not
very
one of those
clear.
Ones
you've made that
like,
very clear that you hate this rivalry and you hate where we
hate
are
this
from.
Rivalry.
And you hate who we are about as Northern Coloradans and Wyomingans.
No, I'm saying that this rivalry is the same type of rivalry that Washington State is. It's not important
it.
To the rest of the country.
I don't care. It's important
but
to me.
I think it's lost a lot of luster because both teams are not very good. It matters to the students, matters to the local media, but not a lot of people are going to watch it. Even like the layman Rams fan, that person is just going to be like, Rams aren't good this year, just fired the coach.
I mean, there's nothing like, you want to keep the boot. And I know Rams fans are like, that's an important thing because 10 years from now, you're just going to look back and look at the records and go, we kept the boot. In 2025. But it, like, for me, I didn't go to CSU. I didn't go to Wyoming. I went to UNC and I'm still not. I don't think they even have a rival, but I am all about the venom of a game and what it means for you. And are you getting closer to a minimum goal? Are you getting closer to a bowl game? Are you getting closer to, does that win put you in a spot where you could be competing for a Mountain West championship? That's what I care about, and I know there are a lot of fans that care about this game more than all of those things. I've asked that question before, and I was set straight, but there certainly are a lot of you that would rather, beating Wyoming in Air Force is almost as good as it gets. And I don't get that. Okay? I would rather lose two games all season, and those would be the two games, but I win the rest. Like, I know, is that weird? If I could pick one way or the other, like, you have a mediocre season, but you beat your rivals, or you only lose two games and it's to your rivals. I'm going with the only losing two games because that gives me a chance to get in the conference championship.
I mean, I would rather the Huskies go to the playoffs and lose to Oregon and Washington State. Like I'd rather that happen. It sucks.
It kills you,
so
but
badly.
You would rather play like the Broncos. If they lost two games and they were to the Raiders, that would suck. But if I could pick the alternate world of you either beat the Raiders twice, you beat the Chargers twice, which would be four wins, you beat the Chiefs twice, which would be six wins, but you don't win the rest of the way, so it means you're not going to the playoffs. I would take the reverse of that. Every game but your rivalry games. I don't care about rivalries as much as I care about venom of a playoff opportunity.
Oh, I care about rivalries in the NFL.
I hate the Raiders. So... If I said you win six games this year and all of them are against AFC West opponents, but you lose the rest, so you're not going to the playoffs, or you win every game but your AFC West games, which would you take?
I mean, both just don't
you gotta
feel
pick
like
one.
Successful seasons.
Well, you could be, you would be 11-6.
And you'd go to the playoffs, yeah, but you lost to the Raiders and the Chiefs. And that
but you're missing the playoffs.
Hurts the soul.
So which one are you picking? 6-11, but you beat all the AFC West, or 11-6, but you lose to all of the AFC West.
I mean, obviously, I'm picking the Broncos going to the playoffs, but
right. That's the one you got to pick.
It's going to keep me awake at night. Every time I see a gang member, I mean a Raider fan, I'm just going to...
Eastside Chris says, Brady, could Cheeks be a Vincent Jackson? Accolades to the platter spinner back there. Oh, yeah, the platter spinner. Nice. I like that. Giving you another shout-out. Look at that. I have to agree with Micah. This is a regional game. The Red River rivalry gets national attention.
Yeah, but Texter even says, that one's kind of meh.
Texter says, not so sure about that, Micah. The Mountain West Conference is still kind of a hot mess. A run might get a team right in the mix. I don't know for these two teams, Go Pokes. Trust me, I wanted to believe. I wanted to believe in both. I wanted this game. I wanted Wyoming to be 3-0 in the conference and Colorado State to be 3-0 in the conference. And then this game is like the winner is going to set themselves up for the Mountain West championship game. Because that's where it would be. That's what would be happening right now. But it's not the case. 44 minutes after the hour. Look at that, Mike. Look at that. Are we at the bottom of the hour break? Is that where we are? You have no control of me, my friend. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show powered by Chevron. Okay, a lot of people are asking about the transfer portal stuff now. Now that Jay Norvell's gone and what that looks like for current players on this team. Well, it used to mean that you could have an immediate transfer portal opening for players. And it was, you know, hey, once you fire the coach and you were there because of that coach, you have a really good excuse as to why you want to transfer. But now it's changed. The period for players to enter the portal following a coaching change, according to Kevin Lytle at the Coloradoan, coaching change now doesn't open until the next coach is hired. So starting 5 days after a new coach is hired or announced, players will be eligible for a 15-day window to enter their names into the portal. That period begins with the next full-time coach is hired, not an interim. This was part of the change from the Division I Administrative Committee that was approved earlier in October. The traditional transfer portal process shifted as well. There will now be just one transfer portal period outside of ones brought on by coaching changes, and it will run January 2nd through the 16th for players to enter. They can still technically leave the program today if they want to, but they cannot officially enter the transfer portal. So they could say, hey, coach, I'm off the team. I want to go ahead and just do my own thing and evaluate my future, whatever. But a lot of guys wouldn't, you know, it depends on your situation. You wouldn't have been able to preserve a lot of, preserve that extra year if you played, over four games. 11:51 the time. We'll take a quick break here. We got top stories of the day coming up. Mike Brohard from CSURams.com joining us. Different times for the Rams, including our friend Mike Brohard. We'll talk to him about it. Coming up next.
You want Broncos games and coverage? Keep it on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA all season.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
And on the Rocks Liquor, starting this Friday, they have specials running on their Halloween party supplies with deals on Buzz Balls, Fireball, Skelly Tequila. Stop by and see what deals are creeping around this weekend at On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next Halloween celebration on the rocks. Coming up in the second hour of the show, we got top stories of the day. Mike Brohard set to talk to us a little bit about the changes going on at Colorado State and what this means for the border war coming up. If we're just talking about, you know, what's next for CSU, it's a pretty significant game, among other things. So all that coming up, buy or sell, Some Nugget stuff, some Bronco stuff. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. It's also Top Text Tuesday, so start bringing the heat, Hooligans. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.